Well, welcome, folks, to this edition of My Car Guru. I'm Lenny Lawson, the car guru and purveyor of information to help people like you navigate the automotive world. That sounds like a big mission, doesn't it? You know, everybody needs somebody to guide them, especially if they have a lack of knowledge and experience in the things automotive or whatever. I mean, if I wanted to start quilting, I know who to call, my wife, because she's an expert quilter. But if I want to have medical advice or whatever, then first person I call is my brother, who happens to be a cardiologist. My grandfather was a doctor as well, so it kind of runs in the family. I was not smart enough to be a doctor. My brother's a cardiologist, and I'm a car salesman. Both start with car, and that's an obvious thing. But I'm glad to do what I do. I've enjoyed my career. Matter of fact, I'm still enjoying it, and I enjoy helping people make good decisions, whether it's buying, selling. You know, some people don't want my advice because they don't think they need it. They already know everything they need to know. Their daddy taught it all to them, and that's great. You know, if you don't need car advice, then, you know, there's no reason to call a car guru. But if you do, if you have miscellaneous issues going on with your car, like the rattle that I had in my brand new F-150 the other day, I couldn't find that rattle anywhere. Something, I was driving down the road, and just every time I'd hit a bump, I'd hear this rattle in the back. And I looked and could not find it. Finally, I looked under the seat. And I was a victim of my own failure to remove something from my car. There was this trailer hitch lock that I had used. I use it when I go camping so that nobody will steal my camper when I go gallivanting around. That thing had slid under the seat and was laying up against a piece of plastic that's underneath my passenger seat and was just rattling away. You know, you ever take something to a car dealership and, you know, it's a real simple thing like that, and they spend hours looking at it, and then they don't find that. Well, they actually do find it, and it's something like that. And then they want to charge you for that. Well, you know, their time is the only thing they have to sell. I mean, if you go to a car dealership and your vehicle goes into their service department, then they're going to charge you for that time. A lot of dealerships call it diagnostic time. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week. But diagnostic time is a legitimate charge. You've got to ask them up front if, you know, there will be diagnostic time involved. If you go in, for example, with a check engine light, there's going to be diagnostic time involved, unless they actually execute the repairs. Now, some dealerships charge for diagnostic time, and then they'll also charge you for the actual repair. What you have to do is make sure that their normal time that they charge you for the repair does not include diagnostic time. And hopefully you're dealing with a place, an honest business that will tell you straight. But legitimately, they should not charge you diagnostic time if they do the repair as well. Unless it's like an electrical problem that really takes a long time to find. And sometimes they do. An electrical short, a wiring issue. We had a customer come in a couple weeks ago, a good friend of mine, and she had bought a new Nissan Rogue. And all of a sudden, her radio wasn't working, and several other of the dash lights and stuff weren't working. Come to find out that she had a rat infestation, and they had been gnawing on her wires. Come to find out the wire coating on modern wires, as they say around here, modern wires, are made out of soybeans. And so they also give off kind of a vanilla-like odor when they get warm. And so I guess that's just too much for a little mouse to resist. And they just got to start gnawing on your wires. Now, should that be something that you have to pay for? Absolutely. I mean, if it takes them a while to tear out your dash and stuff, like I say, the only thing they have to sell is time. Of course, they do sell parts as well. But these technicians that work in our service departments across the East Tennessee in this great state and the country, they get paid based on flat rate time for the most part. Some of them are on guarantees and get base salaries, but most are commissioned mechanics, and they get paid for the amount of time that they generate. So if it takes 2 hours to find your chewed up wires, then they get 2 hours times whatever their labor rate is. For example, maybe a really highly skilled tech could be anywhere from $25 to $50 an hour is what they get paid. Now, the dealership or the little mom-and-pop store charges a door rate, what they call their labor rate, and that could be anywhere in East Tennessee from independent shop, maybe $75, $80 an hour, to upwards of $200 an hour in some of the dealerships in Knoxville. I mean, I think there are some in East Tennessee that are like $150, $140. So you say, well, that's awful. Well, what does a plumber charge? More than that. So these are things that we have to deal with as car buyers. If you feel like you're getting taken advantage of, then, I always recommend that you be nice and talk to the service manager and say, listen, you did this diagnostic on my car, and I'm glad that you found it, but they're charging me like a full hour and then charging me. I feel like I'm being double charged for the diagnostic, and just see what they say. And typically, if you ask, could you help me a little bit on that? If you ask, most of the time, folks, they will. Don't be embarrassed to ask. We talk about that a lot. Oh, something I wanted to bring up. I'm so proud of our state. The state of Tennessee is getting a major auto assembly plant. Now, when I say major, I mean major. The Ford Motor Company is building a project, and they're calling it Blue Oval City. You know what the Blue Oval is, right? That's the Ford logo. So there's a lot to this particular facility. It's, there are three stars on the state flag of the state of Tennessee, right? Those stand for, do you know what they stand for? They stand for West Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and East Tennessee. Now, why they decided to do that, I don't know. But unfortunately, this new plant is not going to be in East Tennessee, and it's not going to be in Middle Tennessee. It's going to be in West Tennessee. And it is going to be a complex constructed on nearly 6 square miles of West Tennessee. And that's where they're going to build the next generation electric F-Series pickup trucks and advanced batteries. Now, we're headed to an electrical future, folks. So get used to it. At some point, you will, if you live long enough, you will be driving an electric car, because I don't think you're going to have a choice unless you buy something used, and they may figure out some way to outlaw that. Anyway, the battery plant is going to be in partnership with a Korean-based, Korean-based battery cell manufacturer called SK. Folks, there's just no way to avoid those kind of tie-ups. The technological advances that they have been able to create, and just the efficiency of their manufacturing processes, it's not bad to partner with somebody that knows how to do it better, as long as they partner on American soil. That's the way I feel about it. On top of the battery plant at Blue Oval City, Ford and SK will build a new Blue Oval SK battery park in central Kentucky. So Kentucky's getting a little bit of this as well. Have you ever heard of Stanton, Tennessee? Well, that's where this is going to be built. I Googled it. On a Google map, it looks like it's, 50 miles northeast of Memphis. Yep, home of some of the best barbecue I've ever had. When my brother went to medical school there, we used to go to a place called Gridley's, and that was really good barbecue, his favorite. And we went to the Rendezvous also. That's still in existence. A good buddy of mine went there not too long ago and was talking to a waiter, and that waiter had been at the Rendezvous. I think he was in his 55th year, thinking about retiring. Not sure. If I was serving ribs for 55 years, I'd be thinking about retiring too. So Ford and SK are going to invest $11 billion to deploy this new production capacity, and they are going to employ 11,000 people. Can you believe that? 6,000 at Blue Oval City and 5,000 at the two battery factories in Kentucky. When I went to Dearborn, Michigan as a new dealer, they had this new dealer orientation. This was way back in 2005 when I bought the dealership from with some partners at the time from Don Smith and his partners. And they took us to, they flew us up to Dearborn. We stayed at the Dearborn Inn, which was opened by Henry Ford. At one time, he actually controlled the Dearborn newspaper. And it was a very widely read publication all over the country where he spread a lot of his crazy theories about. We won't get into some of the stuff Henry used to believe in. You know, he was a character, you know, an old country boy who was he was obviously highly intelligent in certain areas. In other areas, not so much. And especially when it came to family relations, Henry wasn't real good at that. His son Edsel was. His son Edsel had a big impact on Henry. But too bad what happened to Edsel. He was got stomach cancer and fought it for many years. They just didn't have the technology to really understand what was going on with him. And he suffered mightily for many years and then finally passed away. But they were able to build quite the empire, wouldn't you think? Dearborn, Michigan, if you go there, it's all Ford primarily. And the Henry Ford Museum is there. You've got to see that. If you ever have an opportunity to go to Detroit, you got to go to the Henry Ford Museum. And also Greenfield Village is fascinating as well, where they've transported, basically created a small town built from historic structures that they have moved from their original locations to Greenfield Village. And it's fascinating. But, you know, while you're there, you got to take the Rouge River Plant tour, where they build F-150s. And there's a big Ford Museum attached to it. But very innovative plant built, I don't know, but maybe 2004, 2005 is when they finally remodeled, built the new truck plant there. It is, the entire top of that plant is covered with grass to help keep the temperatures lower on the inside of the plant. They say it reduces the inside temperature by 15 degrees just by having the plants on top of it, the grass. So, also the parking lot is porous and will actually, it looks like asphalt, but just like a not a good asphalt job. And it allows the water to pass through and then be recollected from rainwater and recycled and used in the plant. So they have all kinds of really cool innovations to help them build F-150s more affordably. They're still pretty expensive, but imagine how expensive it would be if they couldn't keep their air conditioning turned down and they weren't recollecting all that water. They recycle all of their wastewater instead of dumping it back into the Rouge River from whence it comes. But that's where, you know, back in many, many years ago when they were building Model A's and Model T's, the Rouge River plant was pretty much self-contained. They brought in barges with steel, raw steel. Ford made everything. I mean, they brought the wood in for the wood that they used on steering wheels and on wheels themselves when they were made out of wood. All of that was done at the Rouge River plant. And not too far from that is Henry Ford's house, and it is called Fairlane. And just a lot of interesting things to see while you're in Detroit. So we'll get off the Detroit promotion here, and we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, we are back. You know, I happen to live in an area just in Greene County that is full of deer. Now, I guess maybe that's true for all of East Tennessee, and my daughter lives at her house. She lives in a regular neighborhood, and, of course, I have some acreage around me, and the deers aren't quite as threatened. But I don't think they feel threatened about anywhere. They're very active, and more so in the autumn. I mean, according to the experts, the risk of hitting a deer on rural roads and highways is rising, especially around dusk and during a full moon, just so you know. Deer actually cause over 1 million motor vehicle accidents in the United States each year. That results in more than 1 billion in property damage. They're probably getting revenge on us for all the hunting that we do. But anyway, that leads to a very tragic 200 human deaths a year and 29,000 serious injuries. Property damage results around, what's it say, to $2,600 per accident. You know, I've seen everything when it comes to deers, including deers sticking out of grills when they show up at the dealership. It's horrendous. A lot of deer hair left behind as they scrape across the vehicle. I know I shouldn't probably be, it's kind of gruesome, isn't it? But lots of things happen. So now you may live in an area where there's bigger four-legged critters like moose. I don't know what you call multiple mooses. Maybe mooses. elks and other hoofed animals. But you hit one of those, it's a really bad day because of the size of the animal. Transportation agencies working with scientists have been developing ways to predict where deer and other similar critters enter roads so that they can post warning signs and install fencing or wildlife passages over or under the roadway. You know, it's just hard to fight nature. You know, when I was young, I wondered how did the deer know to actually cross the road where the deer crossing was? I mean, could the deer read? No, I really didn't wonder that. I heard that was a joke the other day, and I thought that was kind of cute. The risk of hitting a deer varies by time of day, the day of the week. As I said, the monthly lunar cycle and the seasons of the year. These accident cycles are partly a function of driver behavior. They are the highest when, obviously, traffic is heavy. Drivers are least alert and when driving conditions are poorest for spotting animals. I came out my driveway the other day and there were 10 deer on my driveway. 10. And so I'm always very careful driving out my driveway. I don't speed on my own driveway. And so you got to be aware of this because they can do some severe damage to your vehicle and then lead to other accidents. You know, what most experts say, though, is most people aren't real good at evasive action. And so sometimes it's better, rather than jerking on the steering wheel and risking the lives of other drivers or running off the road and, you know, ramming into a tree or something like that, just hit the deer. You're probably better off. That's what the farmer said to my brother when he was driving a 1980 Mazda GLC too fast on a little road that leads out to Mom and Dad's house. And a bunch of chickens ran out in front of him, and he swerved to miss them and ended up totaling the car, wiping out a fence post and a bunch of other fence posts and wrapping that car so nicely with barbed wire. The farmer came out and said, "Son, why didn't you just hit him?" I thought that was funny. But it is, I mean, we react, right, to the situation, and we think that the best thing to do is to try to avoid it. In many cases, it is, but if you get caught off guard, it could lead to an even more tragic situation. So hit the deer. You know, we are in the prime season for deer hitting, fall, particularly during the rut when bucks search and compete to mate, and in New York State, the peak number of deer vehicle accidents occurs in the last week of October and the first weeks of November. There are over four times as many deer vehicle accidents during that period. So that's very interesting. State Farm found that the average U.S. drivers have about a 1 in 116 chance of hitting an animal, with much higher rates in states such as West Virginia, Montana, and Pennsylvania. Over 12 months ending in June 2020, State Farm counted 1.9 million insurance claims for collisions with wildlife nationwide. That's around, and 90% of those involved our deer friends, the deer. So just remember, morning hours, also dusk especially, and that's going to be worse when we fall back as far as the clock is concerned, means more commuters are going to be on the road during the high-risk dusk hours when it comes to hitting deer. So just watch out for those critters. They're everywhere. I think bow season opened up, so maybe there will be fewer of them. I mean, I love deer. I love to look at them. I wouldn't shoot one. I don't want to hit one with my car either. I like looking at them, taking pictures of them. You know, to me, they're just something majestic about them. But I understand why people do shoot them. And I have a lot of friends that hunt, and they just get really excited to just go out in the woods. And even if they don't shoot anything, they just love being out there in the woods. I get that part. So anyway, watch out for those deer, and we'll be back here in just a minute. Folks, it's a great time to get your brakes inspected right now. It's before we get into the slickery weather, and you know, we're doing a lot of traveling around in the fall and stuff like that. You need to make sure your brakes are in good shape. You can inspect your brakes. You can do it in your driveway. Just got to get down and look at that brake disc. Now, you can't really inspect drum brakes very well. I mean, if you know what you're doing, I guess you can. There is a sight hole on a lot of drums that you can look in and see and check your brake condition, but that there, it's harder. If you have disc brakes, just look at that rotor. That's the shiny part. And then you'll have a caliper where you can look up and see the thickness of your brake pads. You know, go to YouTube, and it'll tell you how to do that. But, you know, if your rotor's got a bunch of grooves in it, probably beyond time to get a brake job. And it means that your pads are probably worn down to the rivets, and you're not going to have good stopping power, and you're going to destroy your brake rotors. They may already be destroyed if the grooves are deep enough. Sometimes you can turn the rotors on a brake lathe, and they make brake lathes that you can take the rotors off and mount them on and turn them, or they have on the car brake lathe. You'll see those a lot at import car stores. But you just need to check and make sure that you have adequate braking power and that adequate pads. And don't use aftermarket pads. I'm sorry if you own an aftermarket parts store, but use the pads and the brake shoes that come from the factory, because they don't squeak and squeal, and they stop your car the way the engineers designed it to stop. And some people disagree with that. Fine. It's not your radio show. So get your brakes inspected. You can get them inspected when you go get your oil changed. Just tell them to inspect your brakes. Or if you go to a lot of places like our dealership, we have a multi-point inspection. We're inspecting your brakes anyway. And we give you a red, yellow, or green. And if you're in the red, you need to replace them. If you're in the yellow, you need to think about it. And do it sometime in the not-too-distant future. If you're green, you're good to go. So thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and we'll see you tomorrow.